Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 24th of November, 2017. We're going to be going into 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and proceeding forth. Whatever we get to today, I'm not rushing this, so... We'll take our time. There's lots of references. And I need to cover all of those thoroughly. Pardon me, I need to clear my lungs at the beginning of the show. It's late at night and I'm a little bit wheezy just right now. Just pardon me for a second. Okay, that was quick. Yeah, after the surgery, I don't cough nearly as much as I used to at all. The lung congestion has cleared up. I'm so thankful for that. But let's get started in chapter 5. I'm going to move my keyboard out of the way a little bit and get forward. Chapter 1. Of verse 5 of 2 Chronicles, you can reference 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11, 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, and 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 11. Let's get started. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Yahweh was finished. That's Shlomo. And Shlomo brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. Those are things that were dedicated for the service of Yahweh. And the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of Elohim. All the sacred instruments. Okay. Temple's done now. This is magnificent. The better of the two temples. Okay. Verse 2. And you can reference 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 15, and 1 Chronicles 15, verses 25 through 28. Then Shlomo assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the clans, of the forefathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem, and this was to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh from the city of David, which is Zion, T-S-I-Y-O-N. Verse 3. For all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. Verse 4, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levium took up the ark. There's verse 5, and you can see the notes on the things on 1 Chronicles 13, 9, and 10 about the improper transporting of the ark, okay? They had to put the poles through it, and only they could touch it. And they brought up the ark and the tent of meeting, and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. These did the priest and the Levium bring up. Verse 6. Also King Shlomo and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be counted nor numbered for multitude. Big sacrifice. That's verse 6. You can reference 1 Kings 8, verse 5. Verse 7. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh into its place to the inner sanctuary of the house, and to the most holy, under the wings of the cherubim. Verse 8. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered over the ark and the staves of it from above. Verse 9. And they lengthened the staves, that the tops of the staves were seen from the ark before the inner sanctuary, but they were not seen outside. And there it is unto this day. Well, that's when this was written. It's not there now. Verse 10, and this you can reference Deuteronomy 10, verse 5. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets which Moshe put there at Horeb. That's the second set of tablets after he broke the first. When Yahweh made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, from Egypt. Verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, because all the priests that were present were sanctified, and did not wait by division. In other words, they were not divided up into workers and full priests, etc., etc., etc. Verse 12, also the Levium, the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Yeduthun, with their sons and their brothers, being clothed in fine linen, having cymbals and lyres and harps, stood at the sunrise end of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing with trumpets. Okay, here's verse 13 and 14. You can reference Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. And for verse 13, here's a ton of references. Verse 13, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 3. Ezra, chapter 3, verse 11. Psalms 100, verse 5. 106, verse 1. 107, verse 1, 118, verse 1, 136, verse 1. The book of Yirmiyahu, that's Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 11. And 3 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 32. This is verse 13 here of chapter 5. It came to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking Yahweh. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of songs, and praised Yahweh, and they have saying in italics, because it's not actually, it's implied. For he is good, for his loving kindness is forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud, the house of Yahweh. Verse 14. So that the priest could not stand to minister from the presence of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh had filled the house of Elohim. And that ends chapter 5. Here we are, chapter 6, and Shlomo is going to speak to the people. Verse 1. Then said Shlomo, Yahweh has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Verse 2. But I have built a lofty house and a place for your dwelling forever. That means a magnificent house, okay? Verse 3, and the king turned around his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And here's verses 4 through 9. You can reference 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 through 13, and 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 12. Let me get a little drink of water here. This is Shlomo speaking, and he said, Blessed be Yahweh Elohe Israel, that means the God of Israel, who has with his hands fulfilled which he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, verse 5, since the day I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, or Mitzrayim, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people, Israel. Verse 6. But I have chosen Yerushalayim that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people, Israel. Verse 7. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yahweh, Elohe Israel. Verse 8, but Yahweh said to David my father, For as much as it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well in that it was in your heart. Verse 9, Notwithstanding, you shall not build the house, but your son, which will come forth from your loins, he shall build the house for my name. Verse 10. Yahweh therefore has performed his word that he has spoken, for I am risen up in the place of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as Yahweh promised, and have built the house for the name of Yahweh Elohe Israel. Okay, he fulfilled that. Verse 11, and in it have I put the ark, in which is the covenant of Yahweh that he made with the children of Israel. Now he's going to pray a temple prayer here. I'm getting under a little head of water. Verse 12. And he stood before the altar of Yahweh in front of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. Verse 13. For Shlomo had made a bronze platform. And had set it in the midst of the courtyard of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. That's 7 foot 6 inches. And 3 cubits high. That's 4 foot 6 inches. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward the sky. This is a beautiful, beautiful poem. Verse 14, and said, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, there is no Elohim like you in the sky nor in the land, which keeps covenant and loving kindness unto your servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. All right. There's a condition right there. You have to walk before him with all your heart. He'll keep covenant with you. People like to overlook such things. Verse 15. You which have kept with your servant David my father that which you had promised him, and spoke with your mouth, and has fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. Verse 16, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. Now therefore, O Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that's God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that your children take heed or guard in their way to walk in my Torah as you have walked before me. Ooh. Okay. Verse 17. Now then, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, let your word be verified or proven true. That's number 539. Which you have spoken unto your servant David. And here's verse 18. You can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. But will Elohim indeed dwell with Adam on the land? Behold, sky and the sky of skies cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? In other words, he's recognizing that Yahweh is so vast, he couldn't be in his entirety right there. He could manifest himself there, but not a lot, because it would destroy us. Because there's sin in this world. Verse 19. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication, O Yahweh Elohev. That means my God. To listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you. Verse 20, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 11. That your eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place where you have said that you would put your name there, to listen unto the prayer which your servants praise toward this place. Verse 21. Listen, therefore, unto the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel, which they shall pray toward this place. Listen, you, from your dwelling place, even from the sky, and when you hear, forgive. Verse 22. If a man sins against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath comes before your altar in this house, then hear you from the sky and do, and judge your servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according to his righteousness. Let's stop right there. There's going to be some requiting of the wicked coming, all right? It's going to be real rough. All these people that are doing all this evil, regardless of who they are, oh, we don't know go into the big diatribe about all this. You know who we're talking about, and people of our people that go along with them. Okay, that they're not going to get a pass. They're going to get smitten. Verse 24, and if your people Israel be smitten before the hated enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall return and confess your name, and pray and make supplication before you in this house. Let's take a break. Not necessarily in that house, but out here. We are smitten before the hated enemy today. And only certain ones of us are praying in his name and praying for forgiveness. The others are going on in their blindness and their willfulness, and they don't come under this. They're just going to have to take whatever comes. Verse 25, then hear you from the skies and forgive the sin of your people Israel and return them unto the land which you gave to them and to their fathers. That'll come when Yeshua Messiah returns. Now, these are plagues he's talking about in his time. When the sky is restrained and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. That happens today too. Yet if they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin when you did afflict them, verse 27, then hear you from the sky and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people Israel when you have taught them the good way in which they should walk. Well, what are we doing here at EFR? We're preaching the way people should walk. We're teaching that. And so are others out there. The Judeo-Christian churches aren't, but we are. And send rain upon your land, which you have given unto your people for an inheritance. That's over in Israel. Here's verse 28. And verse 28 and 29, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. If there is a famine in the land, and if there is pestilence, and if there be blight or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their hated enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever plague or whatsoever sickness there is, verse 29, what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any Adam or of all your people Israel, when everyone shall know his own plague and his own pain and shall spread forth his hands in this house. Well, we don't have that house anymore. We're out here and we have to talk directly to the Father. He doesn't object to that. That's not against any rules. Priesthood's been done away with. Verse 30. Then hear you from the sky, your dwelling place, and forgive and give or render unto every man according to all his ways. In other words, what he does. That's his. Whose heart you know, for you only know the hearts of the children of Adam. Verse 31. That they may fear you to walk in your ways so long as they live on the face of the land which you gave to our forefathers. Well, we're in dispersion now. We wouldn't straighten up. We wouldn't do his way, and he kicked us out of there. We're all over the world. True Israel is. All the white race that's of Israel stock. We're everywhere. And here's verse 32, and verse 32 and 33. Shlomo later married racially alien women, violating Yahweh's laws. You can reference 1 Kings 11, verses 1 and 8. So he didn't follow this. See what's happening? He's praying these prayers, and then he breaks it later. Verse 32, moreover, concerning the racial alien, which is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your great namesake and your mighty hand and your stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, verse 33, then hear you from the sky, even from the dwelling place, and do according to all that the racial alien calls to thee for, that all people of the land may know your name and fear you, as does your people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. Now, Solomon praised this. And it is clear in Scripture that one of racially alien blood can be blessed by Yahweh, but only after Israel is placed back in charge. I mean, if you read Solomon's going astray here, these are the seeds that we're seeing where Solomon messed up. Because later on he married racially alien women. Integration with non-whites is always wrong. I'm sorry, it just is. We are to come out from among them and be separate. And he didn't quite get that. So later on, he became a fool and a race mixer. And the kingdom was taken. Later on, we were put in dispersion. Verse 34. If your people go out to war against their hated enemies, by the way that you shall send them, and they pray unto you toward this city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, it's not there anymore. We don't need to pray to Jerusalem. Then hear you from the sky, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Well, we've got an enemy that's assailing us, and we're praying to Yahweh for his intervention on the part of true Israel, the ones that are faithful. And he has protected us so far, and will. I mean, he's coming back with these avenging angels. Well, it's not going to bode well for the ones that hate Israel, real Israel. Verse 36, if they sin against you, for there is no atom which sins not, and you are angry with them, and give them over before their hated enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. Verse 37, yet if they think of themselves in the land where they are carried captive, and turn or return, and make supplication unto you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned and have done amiss and have dealt wickedly. Verse 38, if they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried themselves captives, and pray toward their land which you gave to their forefathers, and toward the city which you have chosen, and toward the house which I have built for your name. Verse 39, then hear you from the skies, from your place of dwelling, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people which have sinned against you. Now, the word they're using for sin here is 2398, which means to miss the mark of duty and righteousness. Verse 40, now, Elohim, that means my God, let, I beseech you, your eyes be open, and let your ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. And here we are at verse 41. 31 and 42, Psalms 132, verses 8 through 10. Verse 41, now therefore rise up, O Yahweh, Elohim, unto your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest, O Yahweh, Elohim, be clothed with salvation, and let your pious ones rejoice in goodness. Verse 42. O Yahweh, Elohim, turn not away from the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of David your servant. Okay, well, that ends chapter 6. I need to see. Oh, I got all kinds of time here. Let's do chapter 7. And here's where Yahweh's glory fills that temple that he had built. Verse 1, and you can reference Leviticus 9, verse 23 and 24. Now when Shlomo had made an end of praying, the fire came down from the sky and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of Yahweh filled the house. So the fire that they had set, didn't consume everything. Yahweh sent down and consumed himself. He made the stuff burn up. Verse 2. It's very close here to the dedication of the tabernacle when they first built the tent in Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. Verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of Yahweh because the glory of Yahweh had filled Yahweh's house. They couldn't be around that. That's too much. Here's verse 3. Here's a whole bunch of references. Verse 3, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13. Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. Psalms 100, verse 5. 106, verse 1. 107, verse 1, 118, verse 1, 136, verse 1, and Jeremiah 33, verse 11. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and prostrated and praised Yahweh, saying, for he is good, for his loving kindness is forever. Okay. Chapter 4. Verse 4. Of chapter 7. Then the king and all the people slaughtered sacrifices before Yahweh. Verse 5, and King Shlomo slaughtered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. And 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of Elohim. Now, whether these numbers are accurate or not, or are inflated, we do not know today. They tended in Hebrew writings to magnify numbers. But that's what it says here. It doesn't really matter. Verse 6, and the priest waited on their duties. The Lewium also with instruments of songs of Yahweh, which David the king had made to praise Yahweh because his loving kindness is forever. When David praised by their hands, playing the instruments, and the priests blew trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Now it says all Israel. Okay, well, all the Israelites that were there. You couldn't get all of Israel into Jerusalem at that time. Just physically impossible. Verse 7. Moreover, Shlomo hallowed the middle of the courtyard that was before the house of Yahweh, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Shlomo had made was not able to hold the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat. In other words, there was a big sacrifice, whether it was 22,000 oxen or not, I don't know. Wasn't there. Verse 8. Also at the same time, Shlomo kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the Wadi of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. Okay. Verse 9. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that Yahweh had showed to David and to Shlomo and to Israel, his people. Okay, well, here's where Yahweh is going to appear to Shlomo. Verse 11. Thus Shlomo finished the house of Yahweh and the king's house, and all that came into Shlomo's heart to make, and the house of Yahweh, and in his own house. He prospered in everything. Verse 12. And Yahweh appeared to Shlomo by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Verse 13. You can reference 3 Maccabees chapter 6 verse 32. If I restrain the sky that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts, in context, to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from the sky and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is in this place. Verse 16. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there until everlasting, and my eyes and my heart shall be there all the days, perpetually. Okay. Verse 17. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, which Shlomo did not. Verse 18, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. Then I will establish the throne of your kingdom according as I covenanted with Dawud your father, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man to be ruler in Israel. And here is the kicker. Verse 19. But if, that's number 518, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other Elohim, and prostrate before them. Let's stop. What did Shlomo do? He built places for pagan gods, foreign gods of his wives. Verse 20, then I will pluck them up from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. You can reference 1 Kings 9:7. What happened? The temple was destroyed. That beautiful temple, because Shlomo went into apostasy. And all the kings, pretty much, Hezekiah was pretty good. There were a couple good ones after that, but nothing like Dawud. And it, when Shlomo came in, it went downhill from there. Oh boy. And here we are in dispersion today. We're not over in that land. We're out of there. We're all over the world in dispersion. And a remnant is gathering, whether not physically gathering, but gathering. We've got people all over the world that are Yahweh believers and Yahweh worshipers and keepers of the feasts. And those of us are called a remnant, and we will be in the kingdom. What can I say? The others will be judged too. We will be judged. Everybody's going to get judged. Except the beasts of the field. They're just going to, they don't get judged. The ones that are evil will be slain. The other ones will be servants. How it is. Verse 21, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has Yahweh done thus unto this land and unto this house? Yeah, an astonishment. That beautiful temple, people would walk by and say, whew. Man, that's, the walls are torn down in Jerusalem. The temple's torn down. He is really angry with Israel. Verse 22, and it shall be answered because they forsook. That's 5,800 in your Strong's. Yahweh, Elohe of their fathers, which brought them forth from the land of Mitzrayim and laid hold on other Elohim, gods, little g, and prostrated to them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this harm. It says evil, but it's harm upon them. Okay? And that is what has happened. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We have gone into apostasy. We did that over in that land. Yahweh punished us. Yahweh had that house destroyed. I mean, His word is good. He doesn't lie. He doesn't have to lie or shine us on. He's not one of these little G gods. He's Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth. And he doesn't owe us anything. We are blessed when we follow him. And we are cursed when we do not. I mean, what is it going to take, people? What? I mean, look, as many mistakes as I have left go in my life and didn't take care of my temple that I abide in, my dedication and service to Yahweh and my faithfulness has earned me a reprieve. He has blessed me beyond measure. He has healed me so rapidly. Here I am back doing what I'm supposed to be doing. He just said, Steve, time out. Time out. You've been overdriving yourself. You haven't been taking care of yourself. This is what's going to happen. Well, I'm going to heal you, son. And I'm going to put you back in service, but I expect you to change your ways. That's the deal. Change your ways. Well, I've had to do that. I've had to change my eating habits, my exercise habits, my work habits. I cannot drive myself like I'm a young man. Oh, he gives me strength. Oh, absolutely. And I'm doing a lot better. He has renewed me beyond. I'm still just stunned at what he has done in my life. And every time I breathe and every time I talk, fortunately, I have that little pain in my chest where the bones are healing. Now the flesh is healed, but the bone is going to take 6 months at least. But boy, oh boy, he got my attention. What's it going to take for him to get your attention, brother and sister? What does he need to do in your life to get you to serve and to be smart? Well, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and I certainly am not. I was going along, and there were some things in my life that Yahweh wanted changed. So, he's made changes. And I accept them and I praise them and I praise him for it. And I'm grateful. And I will comply and I will do better. He reminds me of it. And what can I say? It's time for me to change. Well, I'm in process of that change right now. Right now. Solomon changed too. For the worse. And he apostatized, and that came down on all of Israel, and the kings got worse and worse and worse. So now we're scattered all over the place. The description in Revelations of New Jerusalem makes it so massive it wouldn't fit over in Palestine. So we need to get ready for that second coming of the Messiah and his avenging angels and New Jerusalem, which will descend from the sky, so it says. New city. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the law shall fail. So, we need to comply with the law, with the Torah. We need to study. It's not nailed to the cross. We need to be obedient. The sacrifice for the remission of sins has been fulfilled. But other than that, everything stands. We still don't murder. We still don't covet. We still don't steal. On and on. Okay? We don't eat pork. We don't eat catfish. We don't eat shellfish. We don't eat all this unclean stuff. It's basically time for me to go. I have used up all my show time. It has been a pleasure. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you on the next show. Praise Yahweh, Lord of hosts, Holy One of Israel.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.